We're talking about the work of the Republican Party of Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 2020 presidential election is about 16 months away, and state Republicans are actively working on a grassroots campaign push to build the base. We're taking a look at priorities with the chairman, gathering your questions along the way. What do you want to know about organizing and party priorities? What issues do you think the Republican Party should be working on to address here in Wisconsin? And what issues do you want to hear lawmakers and candidates talking about? Join in at 800-642-1234. Andrew Hitt is an attorney in Madison. He was deputy legal counsel and senior advisor to former Governor Scott Walker. He was elected chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin in April. Andrew, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here today. Thanks for the invitation. Looking forward to talking and talking to your listeners.
Yeah, well, let's start a bit more big picture-ish and then zoom in. What are your top priorities for the Republican Party of Wisconsin as you hit the ground running here? What are the most important issues that you're working on right now?
First and foremost, the most important issue is really making RPW a grassroots organizing organization. That's my top priority. We win elections when we have a focus on the grassroots, when we have this army of people out there knocking on doors, making phone calls. So right now I'm focused on sort of the blocking and tackling, making sure that they have the information they need, the data they need, tools that they need to get out the vote in 2020.
What are some of the other issues that really rise to the top for you?
Yeah, great question. So, I'm really focused on, really taking a look at meeting people where they are. We can't cede parts of the state. We can't just ignore Dane County. We can't ignore Milwaukee County. We have to work hard to talk to people in those areas. There's a lot of raw Republican vote totals in Dane County, in Milwaukee County. And so we're putting together and have put together a minority outreach program. I think it's probably one of the strongest, if not the strongest, programs we've had in Wisconsin for RPW. We've got people on the ground already that have built relationships over the last couple of years. We kept them on staff after 2018. Normally, we would decrease staff in that area. We kept them on. We funded that. And we're doing significant outreach in that area. The other area that I want to focus on is local office recruitment to build the farm team for long term. It's a little bit of a longer term goal, but I think it's an important one to grow the party.
When you talk about farm team, what do you mean by that? What are you referring to?
So, I want to make sure that we have a group of individuals that, as the speaker and the majority leader, are looking for people to run for election in the assembly and the Senate. They have a good group of people to pick from. And I think focusing on local office, recruiting for local office, and making sure that we have good conservative candidates who are getting some training in that area of government is a great place to take these people and move them up in government and as they go through their goals of being an elected official.
Oh, so you're looking at like school boards and city councils and saying, hey,
who are
these people here who might have something more in them that could serve us in the legislature?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Using that group of people to really grow the Republican Party. We have to take a focus really on growing the party, growing out our volunteers, and energizing for 2020.
Wisconsin voters elected Judge Brian Hagedorn to the state Supreme Court this spring. He was the candidate, as you know, with the Republican Party's support. You're very close to Judge Hagedorn. What did this victory prove for you? What did the party learn?
Yeah, well, I'm very close with him. We clerked together in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and we worked together in the governor's office. I think he's going to be a really amazing rule of law judge. Very excited about that. I think for us, it was a little bit of a proof of concept. As we looked at, in hindsight, what occurred in 2018, what we did, more importantly, what we didn't do, we made changes going into the 2019 cycle and into that race, much more of a focus on the grassroots, making sure that we were communicating with them, and not just weekly, but daily, making sure that they had tools that they needed to elect the judge. And so we made some changes from 2018 to 2019. I think those changes worked. It was a proof of concept for us. Certainly is the playbook going into 2020 as we look to reelect the president and vote, get Republicans elected up and down the ballot.
Let's take a call now. Let's bring in Steve joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the concerns I have about conservatism in general, not just Republican Party, but conservatism, is that our media is probably 98% liberal, if not 100% liberal. And most of the kids in our state go to public school that is dominated by a liberal indoctrination program by the unions. So kids don't hear the benefits of conservatism in their daily lives. What could the Republican Party do to help reach these kids so they don't just hear negative, negative, negative about Republicans from supposedly their role models and teachers or the media?
Andrew, what do you see there in Steve's question?
Yeah, so, I mean, that really gets to my point about meeting people where they are. You know, whether it's, our minority outreach program or our youth outreach program, we need to meet people where they are and talk to them about issues that they care about. When we're talking about the youth vote, we can't just focus on college. A lot of people want to focus on, you know, the college vote, and that's a focus of mine as well. But we have to remember that there are young men and women, 18 to 25 year olds, all over this state who are conservative in their thoughts and their principles. And they are people who are either wanting to vote for the president, or if we reached out to them, they would vote for the president. So we have to meet people where they are and talk to them about things that they care about. As we're talking to the youth, we need to make sure that they understand that we're a party that appreciates their independence and fosters their independence and their freedom. And I think as the Democrats are talking an awful lot about government and a government takeover of a lot of different things, I think that's a message that resonates with young people. And then I think, you know, we all have to do a better job as parents, as people in the community, about making sure we're reaching out to young people, that we're, you know, mentoring them, that we're spending time with them. Because, you know, we don't want them to forget some of the history that we've gone through. And I think this is an important time to do that, as we seem to see more and more talk from the left about socialism and so-called democratic socialism.
We're talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt. We're exploring the ground game of the party, a grassroots effort, as he's been talking about. So where do you see room for Republicans and Democrats to work together? What bipartisan topics should lawmakers be addressing? What is your reflection on the years of Republican Party control in state government? Join in this conversation, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Republican Party of Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Economic prosperity, limited government, fiscal restraint, some of the themes that we're hearing emerging from party leadership, a strong ground game, as they call it in politics, going door to door, talking with voters, gathering your questions as the party in Wisconsin gears up for the 2020 presidential election and state races. So what is your reflection on the years of Republican Party control in state government? What can be done to improve or extend leadership? What suggestions or ideas do you have for the chairman of the state's Republican Party? Join in at 800-642-1234. And Republican Party Chair Andrew Hitt stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Mark joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the call. Chairman, I'm an independent voter from Green Bay, and I was paying attention to the special session called in December. I've heard a lot of coverage about that session that's unfavorable to it. So that's certainly the perspective that I've taken on with it. But I'm wondering if you, on behalf of the Republican Party, can maybe frame that special session in a different context, because it's certainly currently a factor in how I view the 2020 election.
And so you're referring to, Mark, there what has been called the lame duck session or the extraordinary session. And last week, state Supreme Court ruled that Republican lawmakers were acting within their rights when they passed laws during the lame duck session that limited the powers of Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call. Andrew?
Well, great. First of all, it's great to talk to you, being from Green Bay. So I actually live in Appleton, although, you know, sometimes I get referred to as a Madison or Milwaukee attorney because of where my day job is. So it's great to talk to you. I think there's a couple things that I would say on the lame duck, the so-called lame duck laws. First of all, not surprised that the Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld those laws. Long-standing precedent that the legislature has the power to govern itself. And had these laws been struck down, it would call into question decades of past extraordinary sessions. But to really hone in on your question, on whether or not there was something that the Republicans did wrong by passing these laws in December, I look back and I think about the timeline. We have a transfer of government that occurs after a November election, and it occurs in January. If the Republicans had done something, if we had done something like the transfer of power was November 10th, and you know the election was a few days earlier, and we changed that from November 10th to January 7th in order to pass these laws, then maybe the Democrats would have had a leg to stand on. But that's not what happened. There's a reason that there is this long period, not only for a transfer of government, but so that the legislature and the current leadership can wrap things up.
But Andrew Hitt, does it concern you at all that future governors, future attorneys general will have less power?
You know, no, I mean, not really. I think that the people have an opportunity to speak, and that if for some reason the focus is a little bit too much power was taken away from the attorney general, the people have an opportunity to speak and to be heard, and they can do that right now. So, you know, there is opportunities to vote and to speak your mind on this. I don't think that what we did in the fall or in the December session was improper at all. I think the Wisconsin Supreme Court said it very clearly. The legislature had the power to do what it did. And it makes sense that they are able to come back in before the transfer of power. This isn't like we changed the date of when the transfer of power was.
So you would characterize that this rebalancing of the powers of government was a long time in coming?
Well, I think what the legislators have said is, you know, during the 8 years of complete Republican control, there are some things that they gave powers to some folks that as they looked at it in hindsight, they thought maybe it was too much. And so I certainly respect them for their opinions and their ability to legislate. And, I think they did a good job in December balancing out power for the future.
You advised Governor Scott Walker specifically on health care. And I know Carol in Milwaukee would like to bring up health care. Carol, hi.
Yes, am I on the air?
Yes, you are, Carol. Go ahead.
Okay. I believe I would like to know if there are any Republicans who would be willing to back the Badger Care expansion, which means accepting money from the federal government so that 80,000 new Wisconsinites could have insurance. Are there any Republicans like that that would help to bring that back into the budget, even though it's the Republicans already basically took it out?
Carol, thanks for the call. What do we know, Andrew, about how Republicans feel about Medicare expansion? Medicaid,
sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I think some history is important context here. So when Governor Walker was, back a few years ago working on this issue, he developed a plan where there was no coverage gap in Wisconsin. And if we were outside of politics, there'd be a lot of people that said, wow, that's really great. There is no coverage gap. And that first point is important. The second point is what Governor Walker did was, at that time, childless adults were able to be covered above 100% of FPL, or federal poverty line. But there was a cap, that was an enrollment cap, that was put on by the Doyle administration. So in effect, the effective rate was essentially 25%. What Governor Walker did was he moved that effective rate. He took that off and he said anybody below poverty is entitled to has the opportunity to enroll in Medicaid. And so he put 80,000 people, childless adults who were the poorest of the poor, who didn't have Medicaid, and he put them on Medicaid. He took 80,000 people that were above 100% FPL, and he allowed, he gave them an opportunity to go on the exchange. So the Republicans have provided an opportunity for coverage for everybody. I think fundamentally the difference between Republicans and Democrats on Medicaid expansion is really this. Republicans see Medicaid as a safety net program. We want it to be there. We want it to be a safety net program for folks, so when they need it, it's there. And we want to have policies in place to pull people up and out of poverty so they don't need Medicaid. I think Democrats look at it more as it's a health care for all program. So I think fundamentally that difference in philosophy drives some of the decision making that's going on between Republicans and Democrats on the issue. But most importantly, let's not forget that there's no coverage gap in Wisconsin, and that while the money that we may get, if we expanded right now, looks nice, it's not money that is necessarily here to stay, and that puts the state in jeopardy, that puts the fiscal coffers in jeopardy. The prudent thing to do is really what we have done, which is stabilize the insurance market. Make sure that there's no coverage gap and that people have an opportunity for care.
Let's stay along these lines, healthcare, with Trey joining us from Southern Wisconsin. Trey, hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask the chairman one thing. He mentioned about limited government and personal lives, and I'm just wondering how they can say that when they still want to restrict women's health cares. I mean, they don't want regulations on corporations, but they want regulations on women's vaginas. So I need some clarification on where they stand on that.
Well, last week, Governor Evers vetoed 4 abortion-related bills that had made it out of the legislature and onto his desk. So what do you see there, Andrew Hitt?
Sure. Well, I think what you're ignoring there is that these innocent lives should have rights too. And so that's a fundamental difference of opinion that I think you and I probably have there. But if we look at the bills that were vetoed last week, the Democrats really have moved so far in defense of abortion that they're outside of the mainstream now. And I think they're outside of what everyday Wisconsinites would find acceptable. I mean, we're talking about limiting or preventing late-term abortion. We're talking about making sure that if a baby is born alive, that doctors care for those babies. Those are the things that we're talking about right now. And, you know, it's surprising that the Democrats would go so far to defend abortion at any rate, at any cause. And they would ignore the focus that is on late-term abortion and the Born Alive bill.
Well, Andrew, we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you today.
Andrew Hitt is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Last week, we spoke with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Coming up, intellectual humility, someone's willingness to consider the possibility that they might be wrong. We'll discuss it right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.